Welcome back to season number one, episode number three of DC in DC, the podcast. That's right, Dallas Cowboys in Washington, D.C. And as promised, I've got some Cowboys fans coming on the show all season long. But today, a very special Cowboys fan. He'll be coming up in a few minutes. And also, I do have someone representing Burgundy and Gold. He's coming up after the Cowboys fan because, you know, DC and DC, Dallas Cowboys in DC, Cowboys first, you know, blue and silver, that star, them boys, they're always coming first on this show, and then we'll get to Burgundy and Gold, but it's all love. But first, let me just talk about, you know, the game from week two. Cowboys beat the Bengals, last minute field goal, and I know what people want me to do, whether it's, you know, Cowboys fans who are, you know, delirious, or whether it's Commanders fans who, you know, they do the same thing. They want me to say, oh, we're going to the Super Bowl. We're going to right the ship. Cooper Rush is the new. Listen, I'm not doing any of that. I'm not happy about this win. You know, they beat the Bengals. But, you know, the defense did what the defense does. I'm excited about the defense, and I love Dan Quinn. I love Micah Parsons. I love Fowler. I love Tank. I love Trayvon. I love all the defense. I ain't got no issues with the defense. Defense is straight. But this offense, man, Kellen Moore got to figure it out. You know, I do feel as if they came out with, you know, some sort of strategy to start the game, which they never do when Dak's playing quarterback. But maybe because Cooper's playing, they feel like we've got to strategize. We've got to come out with a plan. We've got to make this thing clean. And so then they actually coach. And so they seemed well prepared to start the game. But then later on, because this coaching staff doesn't make any adjustments, things trailed off and they almost lost the game. I'm not excited about this. It's one game out of 16 or 17 or how many ever they're starting to play now. One out of 17. So, no, I'm not excited about that win. I'm glad they won. A win is a win. You know, look, would I rather win the game or lose the game? I'd rather win the game all day. And so I'm not complaining about a win. I'm just saying in the long term, as far as what this means for the team, you know, winning this one game at home against Cincinnati, where the defense showed up big and Cooper Rush, it doesn't mean anything. Because don't forget, Cooper Rush also won one game last year. And the season ended, what? Disappointing, okay? So, again, I'm glad they won. I'll take a win any day of the year. I think they're going to win Monday night against the Giants. I think the Giants 2-0 is not a real 2-0. I mean, it's a real 2-0 on paper, and I'd much rather be 2-0 than 0-2 right now. But so I'd swap spots with them if I could, but I'm not scared of that 2-0. The Cowboys have to stop the run. I'm not worried about Daniel Jones. I'll take their receivers against our secondary one-on-one all day, not worried about Daniel Jones. I want to stop the run. We got to stop the run, get pressure on Daniel Jones. Our defense is looking amazing, so I'm not worried about that, you know, but I do think that their defense provides, you know, Cooper Rush and the Cowboys offense an opportunity to really get in a rhythm. And so I'm looking forward to Monday night. My wife has got to go to New York for a business trip. And so it's going to be me and my 9-year-old. He's a Cowboys fan. Probably going to go out to maybe the Green Turtle in Burtonsville, Maryland, some sports bar. Maybe we'll order pizza and just watch it at home in the comfort of our own house. And we're going to enjoy that game. I'm looking forward to it. I'm predicting a Cowboys win over the Giants. All right. So now, DC and DC, for the first time ever on this podcast, we're bringing in fans. It is the fan show. Now, we got somebody talking Burgundy and Gold. One of my buddies, Andre Floyd, he's coming in second because I will never let a Commanders fan or Washington football team fan or Redskin fan or Burgundy, whatever you want to call it, I'll never let one of them go before one of my beloved Cowboy fans. My brother-in-law, Chris Brown's coming up. Hey, guys, enjoy the interview and enjoy the show. All right, DC and DC fam, as promised, I said I was going to have some Burgundy and Gold folks in here, but I'm going to have some folks representing the boys as well. And of course, Cowboys come first. That's right. We never have a show where there's a Burgundy and Gold fan on. And I say Burgundy and Gold because they changed the name so much. I'm just waiting to see what the next name is going to be. But yeah, we're never going to have somebody representing Burgundy and Gold before we have a Cowboy on the show. And this Cowboy, special Cowboy to me, my brother-in-law, Chris Brown. Chris, welcome to the show, man.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Yes, sir. Look, when I started the show, you're one of the first people that I had sent a text message to, like, yo, I got to have you on the show. And the energy was just like, yo, let's bring it. Like, bring it. I'm ready.
Let's do it, man. We got to represent these boys in this neighborhood.
Exactly. We have to, man. And so let's talk about that. So how long have you lived in the D.C. area?
Oh, I've lived off and on in the D.C. area probably about 20 years.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you've always been a Cowboys fan. How'd you become a Cowboys fan?
Been a Cowboys fan since there's a little story to that. Been a Cowboys fan since 1977.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people say, oh, you must have lived in Dallas or lived in Texas. Nope, never lived in Texas. I am a military brat or dependent, to be politically correct.
Mm-hmm.
So I remember back in the days when you could turn the TV just using your hand, there's only three channels to turn the TV to. So Dallas is usually on being America's team.
That's right.
As much as people hate that, but being America's team. My grandmother used to work for Sears. She would bring us home the Sears catalog and tell us to pick a favorite team. My brother picked the Vikings and I picked the Cowboys. And here we are.
That's it right there. And you're still picking the Cowboys and you know, your kids, Cowboys fans too, because you're raising them right.
They have no choice. See, that's the bloodline. They have no, I had a choice, but unfortunately I run a dictatorship here.
Right.
So yeah, they have no choice.
There you go. All right, man, let's talk about these boys, man. You know, we're trying to get back to the magical 90s, man, but this year, you and I talked about this before, man. I came into this season real pessimistic, man. Just not, you know, again, and I talked about it on the show. I just didn't see a whole lot of moves on the offseason to make the team better. I saw a lot of losses. I didn't see a lot of additions to the roster. And then things just kind of worked out the way they always work out, where you get an injury here, an injury there. You got to go a couple of weeks without Dak. And now we're trusting in Cooper Rush. Just give me your outlook, man, on where you see the team right now before we start breaking down the win. I mean, you hear me talk about it. It almost seems like they didn't win last week, but they did win. Before we talk about that win and then preview the Giants game coming up, just what's your outlook on the team?
Outlook was dismal, to say the least. You and I shared that same sentiment when the season first started. We didn't see too many moves being made, typical Jerry Jones, Stephen Jones fashion, relying upon Zeke, who's probably about 3-4 years removed from being an excellent back. The refusal to incorporate Tony Pollard into a bigger position to play.
I don't get that. Like, I'm watching the playoff game last year against San Francisco. And I'm just like, where's Tony?
Where's Waldo? Yep, you're absolutely right. And everyone has said the same thing. We get bogged down with the mindset of let's continue to do the things that we've been doing, but the thought process is not going to be insane to do so. I don't understand. Mm-hmm. I did, you know, just looking at the Cincinnati game, I did kind of like the fact that Tony was included a little bit more. I'd like to see the swing go from maybe a more balance between Zeke and Tony. They're still relying a little bit heavy on Zeke. Zeke, I think, had 15 carries, whereas Tony maybe only had 9 or 10.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to see it balance out a little bit more, get Tony involved more in the passing game. I'm telling you. So you asked me how – when it first started out, I didn't have any hopes. Actually, with Dak going down, Dak is my quarterback. Cooper Rush, we both know, is not going to take you to the promised land. But the thought process is with Cooper Rush is that he has to spread the ball out a little bit more. He's got to get a little bit more people involved. We have to rely on the run game, including Zeke and Tony.
Mm-hmm.
It just seemed like our offensive scheme seems to work a little bit better. People are more – they're moving a lot more when Cooper Rush is back there. And not to say that Dak can't thrive. But I think we need to keep that same mindset once Dak gets back.
Right, right. You know, one thing I think it is too is I feel like Kellen Moore and these guys, like they buckle down a little bit more maybe when Dak's not in because they feel like they have to game plan, they have to get creative to give Cooper Rush a chance. I'm just like you said, now keep that same energy, like. It feels to me sometimes that this team comes out flat. They don't seem prepared to play. We're just running generic stuff. And I see all this other kind of creativity, but it seems like with Cooper in there, like the coaches feel like they have to, I don't know, coach, like they have to, you know, figure something. It's like, yes, but do that when Dak's in.
Exactly. I agree. I think when Dak is in, I think the coaches feel a little bit pressure because he's making all his money. Zeke is making all his money. CeeDee Lamb is the new 88. He's supposed to be the man, the one. So I think the pressure is there to make sure that superstars remain superstars. Whereas when Cooper is in, it's more like you're playing with house money. No one really expects you to win. No one really expects anyone to do anything. Let's throw the ball around. Let's have some fun. Let's mix it up. And things start to click. Things start to work. So I think that same mentality, as you said, that same mindset needs to transcend into the game plan once Dak gets on board as well. We really don't have anything to lose We're faced with trying to live up to our reputation, but right now our reputation sucks. Right. Dallas has become a laughing stock in the league. It's not the team that it used to be. It's not the team of the 90s when you had the triplets. It's not the team when Roger the Dodger and all that. It's just not the same America's team, and we got to get back to that. These guys are living off those laurels. They're not producing anything. Let's get back to winning. Let's get back to the tradition of winning, and then you can walk around with your head high and the star on the side of your helmet and say, yeah, I play for the Cowboys. Right now, you play for the NFC East. You play for the the team that's just not doing anything but being a laughing stock. Every time you lose, you see more memes about the Cowboys. More people spend more time hating on the Cowboys than they do rooting for their own team.
That's right.
You know what I mean? It fascinates me that people would rather miss watching their team just to see Dallas play.
Oh, 100%.
Dallas lose.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Oh, absolutely. And then I think that is the catch-22 that we as fans have, because Jerry Jones knows this. As a businessman, he knows I have a highly marketable product. I have the number one franchise in the world. I can do just about anything, and people still going to come out. We're not going to ban. We're not going to put paper bags over heads. We're not going to go to the stadium.
Never. You're right.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So he's got a viable product. I just wish they would act like the Cowboys are supposed to act and do the things you're supposed to do.
Right.
I know I'm rambling. I don't think that CeeDee Lamb is a viable number one, maybe because he doesn't have a viable number two opposite him. Noah Brown really stepped up. I like Noah Brown. I think
me too. I've always liked him. He's tough.
So yeah, he is tough. Mm-hmm. He's tough. I think between him and Cedric, I like those two. You know, Cedric's gone now, but I like those two wide receivers. I think Noah has more of a connection with Cooper Rush because they probably put more reps in and practice together.
But
I'm just I don't know why the offensive coordinator, the next wonder kid, wonder kid, whatever you want to call him, why he doesn't keep the same mentality when he's got all his stars in there.
Yeah.
As he does when he doesn't have people who are supposed to produce. Come on, let's go. Let's get it going.
Yeah, no, exactly, man. Exactly right. And it hurts my heart, man, when I watch Amari Cooper in Cleveland making it happen. He was here. He was here making it happen. And it's funny you talk about fans rooting more against Dallas than for their own team. I feel like even these Commander fans, man, like it's like they don't even care what happens with their team. As long as Dallas loses, it's almost as if they've won the Super Bowl, whether they playing us or not. Like, I don't understand the joy they get from their team being bad. Well, as long as y'all lose, like, I don't understand that.
That's the gift and the curse, because, you know, a lot of these Commander fans, I have a lot of Eagles fans in my family. I have a lot of NFC East fans in my family who are not Cowboys fans. They just relish because of the media's attention to the America's Team moniker.
Yeah.
You know, we get that. That's the spotlight. We're under the spotlight. So I can't hate on them. You know what? If that gives you joy and pleasure to see my team lose, and, you know, regardless, your team's going to, finish in the bottom third of the league anyway. So I understand that's what you really enjoying out of life.
Right.
We just have to step up to the plate. We have to step up and do the things that we know we can do.
Right, because the point about that is, like, even in the 90s, you know, they hated us the same. You know, the difference was is that we ain't care because we were kicking their butts on the field.
Exactly.
So the hate was still there in the 70s and in the 90s. You know what I mean?
Trust me.
It ain't matter at all. That's all.
The hate, you know, and they try to blame, the Cowboys fans are so unrealistic. You know, and to a slight degree, maybe, only because we have had so much success. But I tell you, man, I've been, like I said, since 1977. That means I've lived through 1-15. I've lived through Quincy Carter. I lived through a lot of bad situations.
Yo, but let me tell you, every time a Cowboys fan brings up Dak, Dak ain't going to be Dak. I was like, do y'all forget Quincy Carter? Like, we can't go back to those days. People hated Romo. Like, do y'all forget Quincy?
That's right.
We cannot go back to those days. I know what it's like to not have a good quarterback. These guys are good.
Yes, and if you don't have an option, if you don't have anybody else, if you're just going to say, man, I just don't like that, okay, what's your game plan? What's the solution?
Yeah, you're not going to be able to find 12 better quarterbacks in the league.
I'm glad you said 12. 12 is about the line. You might be right with that. If you had said 5, I would say, oh, wait a minute. But 12
is 12, about the line. Yeah. Yeah. Believe me, after last year, I was looking. I was like,
I mean, if you look at the last 12, game, the last game that Dak played before he got hurt, he did not impress against Tampa. He was not impressive at all. I don't think – I think it's something in his head now. I think he feels as though he's feeling the pressure Even though he speaks a good game, he's very, very well versed in front of the microphone. Mm-hmm. But I just think he's starting to feel the pressure of being the Dallas Cowboys quarterback. Mm-hmm. I think if Cooper Rush can hang on, if we can, and I know I don't want to jump ahead because I know you want to talk about the Giants, but mm-hmm. if we can at least survive with a couple of wins, maybe one or two wins before Dak gets back, and keep that same mentality as far as on offense, I think we have a chance to give the Eagles a – oof, Eagles are really, really good.
Yeah, they look good.
But I think we still have a chance for our division. I mean, that may be about it. Our defense is looking like they come together. Mm-hmm. Micah, the next up and coming LT. I'm really excited about our defense. But offensively, I'm just, like you said, Amari Cooper going, and I just heard that, of course, Tampa Bay is thinking about bringing in my man Cole Beasley.
Who's
a spinning imitation of Wes Welker and mm-hmm. all those little guys that Birdie likes. So yeah, I know I'm jumping all over the place. Just because, you know, Cowboys talk excites me all the time. I just wish we could live up to the excitement.
Yeah, we're going to get it. So real quick before I let you go, this Giants game next week. So we got two NFC East games in a row, Monday night against the Giants and Sunday, October 2nd against the Commanders at home. Let's take a look at these Giants, man. Now, the Giants, I believe they're 2-0, right? Because they're 2-0.
Yes.
They're a different 2-0 to me than the Eagles. They're a different kind of 2-0.
Absolutely.
And I'm not worried about this game at all. As a matter of fact, if they were looking at our schedule, if I had to line up five teams for Cooper Rush to play, I would put the Giants on that list.
Okay. I like that. I think the Giants are favored by 3.5 because it is at home. But even still, yeah, I agree with you. This is one game I think we have to have. Mm-hmm. This and the Commanders, I think we have to have both of these. But this game, it's the only thing that worries me is that Saquon is indeed back. Saquon is a special running back. He's going to go down. If he can stay healthy, he's going to go down as one of the greats. Mm-hmm. I'm not really – their quarterback,
Daniel Jones,
mm-hmm. he doesn't impress me at all. I think in both games he's thrown for less than two. Cooper Rush has thrown more yards than him the last game. Daniel Jones is less than 200 yards. He's prone to being sacked. Mm-hmm. So I expect Mike to have 2+ sack day. It really just depends on us getting pressure and us keeping Saquon bottled up. Saquon is one of those backs. He'll pound you. He'll beat you to death. And then next thing you know, he's springing a 75-yarder down the sideline, third or fourth quarter.
Exactly.
Can't have it. I think we just – if we can do what we need to do, if our defense can contain Saquon and put that pressure on Daniel Jones, and if Cooper Rush can continue to spread the ball around, Noah Brown continue to impress, I think we have a great shot.
All right, you got a prediction? My prediction is I got Dallas winning this one. I got it 20-16, something like that. 2016, maybe 2014.
2016, 2014. That's not bad. That's not mm-hmm. bad. I think the spread is probably about 39. The over-under is like 39. Mm-hmm. I think, Lord, I really want us to go in there and handle our business. I see us putting up at least 24. Mm-hmm. The defense, if we can hold them to about, I say 24-17.
Sweet. I got it. That'll work.
24-17. Yep.
That'll work. Chris Brown, ladies and gentlemen, won't be the last time you hear him on DC and DC. Chris, thanks for your time, man.
You're quite welcome, man. Yeah, invite me anytime because you know I like to talk about them boys.
There you go. All right, DC and DC folks, we're back. And of course, like I said, we're going to have people representing them boys and folks with the burgundy and gold on this show. And the first guy always draped in burgundy and gold that I got to have on the show. When I started, I said, it's got to be my boy, Andre Floyd. He bleeds burgundy and gold. And I got to be real. This is probably the most respectful cowboy Commander relationship that I have in my life. You know what I mean? We keep it real respectful. We talk a little bit of trash, but it's always good. We, you know, and I don't have that with every burgundy and gold fan, every Commander fan. Andre, welcome to the show, man.
Thank you so much, Rick. I appreciate that, man.
Of course, man. Anytime. And I've lived through some bad times with Andre in my presence. I lived through the RG3 Thanksgiving game, which was horrible. And he was there all in his Redskins stuff, cheering and all that other kind of jazz. I lived through Actually, when you think about it, a lot of unfortunate Thanksgiving situations that Andre's been over the house and stuff like that. But Andre, before we get into your team, man, and how you feel about the Burgundy and Gold this season and what you've seen so far, let's just talk a little bit about you growing up and how you became a Commanders fan. And it's hard for me to say Commanders so easily because, you know, you Redskins, then football team, all that jazz. So I may slip up from time to time and call them something else.
Look, same here. I'm just now getting used to calling them Commanders. To me, mm-hmm. it's always been Redskins since birth. So
right.
Work for me too. I'm trying to get used to them calling the Commanders. I don't like the name, but I'm getting used to it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But funny fact, my grandfather, my dad's dad, he grew up a Cowboys fan.
Oh.
I don't think I've ever told you that story. He grew up a Cowboys fan. Yes, he grew up a Cowboys.
How'd you go astray just two generations away?
I'm gonna tell you. Hold on. I'm gonna tell you. He was a Cowboys fan. He grew up loving football. Didn't have a team until he heard about the Redskins. At the time, the Redskins were the last team to hire a black football player.
Oh.
And so he heard about that, was upset. So he went to their enemy. He said, okay, Redskins, Cowboys, beef. Let me go to cheer for the Cowboys.
Right.
And so he was on the Cowboys. Mm-hmm. My dad, he didn't have a great relationship with my grandfather. So he figured out, let me root for the team that he hated, which was the Redskins. So my dad was a Redskins fan. My grandfather, Cowboys fan. And me, that's where I kind of got thrown into it. My dad kind of forced me to like the Redskins. I guess he didn't want that the same relationship with, you know, that he had with his dad.
Yeah.
So I was forced into being a Redskins fan.
Well, and now you're doing the same thing to your kids. They're Redskins fans.
Hold on. Hear me out. So my dad, Redskins fan. My father's dad, Cowboys fan. I was forced into being a Redskins fan. I didn't start watching football really until 2002-ish.
Okay.
I grew up in the Patrick Ramsey era. I hate to say that, but that's where I just grew up in.
And I like Patrick Ramsey, man. Y'all did him wrong by not protecting him, man. That boy could play.
No, I know. I feel like Patrick Ramsey could have been better, but that's just the luck that we have. And so I grew up in that era. I didn't start watching football until 2002. And my dad forced me to watch it. And then me, I was afraid of my dad, so I didn't know who to root for other than the Redskins.
But you know what's funny, though? Andre, I didn't realize this. So if you started watching in 2002, you started watching after all the glory years for the Commander.
Yeah, yes. That's why
you're
I had
just
to bring
such
my
a diehard. I just knew you were around for at least the 92 Super Bowl or 91. Like,
No, I was born in 89, so I was 2-3 years old when we won our last Super Bowl I hope that's not our last, but
right.
It could be.
It's the most recent one. You know what? And I don't even mean to talk trash on the show, but nothing brings me more joy than running into Commanders fans who don't remember what it was like when they were winning. To know that there's a whole generation of fans out there that don't know what it's like to win a Super Bowl. Anyway, go ahead. I'm sorry, your story.
No, you're good. And that's why, like, I grew up in the Ramsey era, you know, Mark Brunell, mm-hmm. Kirk Cousins, RG3. Mm-hmm. Those are my glory days right there. So
right.
I look forward to the future, but it's like, okay, this is where I'm at. I'm not going to force, Trey to, my son. I'm not going to force him to like football, to like mm-hmm. the Redskins, whoever he likes. I'm going to just go with it. He's just now starting to watch football.
Okay.
But it's only because I'm yelling and screaming. He want to know what I'm yelling and screaming about. He gets upset. Yeah. And he gets more upset with me when the Redskins lose. I'm like, what?
Your son's mad at you when the team loses.
Yeah, he's mad at me because he sees on the TV all the football bets and all the DraftKings fan duels. He's like, Dad, why don't you win no money? You be betting on the wrong thing. I'm like, Trey, I'm like, come on. He's hurting me. Right. Trey's in it for the money. I'm in it for the love.
That's crazy. I love it. All right, let's talk about this team you love so much, man. Your outlook on this season, you guys are 1-1. Had a shaky win against Jacksonville, but a win nonetheless. I mean, I'm not saying that. Look, Dallas had a real shaky win against Cincinnati. I'm not even happy after that win. I mean, it's a win, so at least we're not going to go winless this year. But so you guys beat the Jags, and then Detroit was a tough one. Played your way back in the second half. What do you think of the team thus far this season, and what you're looking forward to? What's your prediction for them coming up this Sunday? Because it's going to be a tough game against the Eagles.
You know, I always got to start off with the bad. You know, the bad is we could easily be 2-0. I mean, not 2-0, 0-2 right now. Mm-hmm. Easily be 0-2. I think we played bad against the Jags. Mm-hmm. Lawrence, it was overthrown passes, passes mm-hmm. by the receivers for the Jaguars.
Sure.
It was just real bad. It was real bad. And I feel like we could have easily lost that game. Even with the Jags going to the Lions, it was just bad. I mean, the first half, they dominated us. Mm-hmm. They kept having Wentz drop back 5-7-step throws. Every time he dropped back, the defenders were back there standing in his protection circle, and he could not get nothing done. And we waited too late to adjust. It was too late to adjust in the second half. The defense couldn't stop anybody. Mm-hmm. It was just too late to adjust on offensively because the defense wasn't going to do anything. It was just too late to adjust on the offensive side where Wentz could have had better throws, you know, screen passes, slant passes, sideline passes. It was just too much. And then for the fans to see it, everybody else to see it, but the coaches, mm-hmm. it's ridiculous. And it's easier to say, you know, easier said than done. I don't know. I've never been a coach. Don't know how to coach. But I just know it could have been a better situation going into that Lions game.
Right.
That's all I got to say about that. It could have been better, but we could be 2-0, could be 0-2. I'll stick with 1-1. And then you said going to the Eagles game.
Got a tough one against the Eagles coming up, man. What's going on?
I don't, you know, watching them last night play against the Vikings, I really don't see us beating them on, you know, on paper-wise. Mm-hmm. Their line is going to dominate. I don't feel comfortable with the game. After we beat the Jags, uh-huh. I was telling my friends and everything, okay, I could see 3-1 the first whole week, losing mm-hmm. to the Eagles, beating the Cowboys. Now, mm-hmm. I don't see us beating the Cowboys after playing the Eagles.
Wait, even if the Cowboys, with Cooper Rush?
With Cooper, I just feel like...
Cooper Rush is a bum.
He's a bum. But
I shouldn't say that. No, you know what? I need to stop because he's a real person who plays for a real team and he's trying... And you know what? He's better than I am at quarterback. And so you know what? He's all we got right now. Anyway, go ahead. I shouldn't say that about him.
No, you said it right. I watched that game with Cooper Rush against the Bengals, and he looked great. And I hate to say it. I don't want to disagree to agree. Mm-hmm. He looked great in that Bengals game. I had nothing bad to say. I was upset that he won that game. I was upset that y'all even had a chance to win that game. But I was like, oh, shoot. Is this what I did with week four? He's right. Going to tear us apart because I feel like Lawrence, Goff, they're not top-tier quarterbacks, but they're not bad, but they're not great either.
Right,
so
right.
If Cooper Rush did that to the Bengals defense, I feel like Cooper Rush could do the same thing to our defense. Right. Our defense is not straight. He could do the same thing.
Well, give me a reason to be optimistic about your team. Even if you want to talk trash about the Cowboys, before I let you go, this is your chance. What's optimistic about the burgundy and gold? And you can even talk a little trash about Dallas if you got it, man.
So I feel like this is the best thing we've had in years. You know, quarterback-wise, we haven't had a great quarterback. Not say great. We haven't had a decent quarterback since Kirk Cousins, and that's a lot to say mm-hmm. to be a Commanders fan. A quarterback, Wentz has made passes that I have not seen in years.
Yeah,
he's putting on the money. I mean, yes, he's turning the ball over, but that's just who we have to know what Wentz is for. Mm-hmm. He's turning the ball over, but he's making passes that I don't think our backups could make or any other quarterback we had over the years. Our receivers, Samuel, Dawson, Terry, that's got to be the most underrated receiving core in the league right now.
Yeah, man, they're good. They're good.
Yeah, and then even our running backs, when Robinson comes back, you know, praying he comes back this year to play, Robinson, Gibson, McKissick, our tight end, Logan Thomas, if he's healthy, he's good. I mean, of course, anybody's healthy, they're good. I just really feel like this has been the best offense we've had in years. We can put up numbers. We could go toe-for-toe with the top-scoring teams. Defense, Chase Young needs to get back there. I don't – see our linebackers being better, but our defensive backs are great. You know, with Derek Forrest coming in for Cam Curl, he's been playing great. Our line is decent. I really feel like this team can do something. We just got to do it on the field, you know, between mm-hmm. coaching and actual action.
I think it is right there. I think it's coaching, bro. I'm going to be honest. Yeah. I think it's coaching. I think the coaches are letting the team down.
Between coaching and putting it on the field is the biggest problem we have right now.
Right, right.
But I really feel good about this. Like, this is the best thing we've had in years.
All right. That's Andre, folks. He'll be back on the show at some point this season, plenty of times, especially for the Thanksgiving show. We're going to make sure, Andre, when you come over to the house for Thanksgiving, man, we're going to set some mics up and stuff. And we're going to have a good time. Thanks for your time, Andre, on the show, man.
I appreciate you, Ray. Thank you so much, man.
All right, y'all, that's it for DC in DC. Again, my official predictions for week 3. The Cowboys are going to beat the Giants on Monday night. Again, it won't be reason for me to be happy or optimistic about the season because I've seen this story. I've got the same plot. We've got the same writers, the same directors and producers, so I know how this movie is going to end, no matter what happens in the middle or in the beginning. So it's not going to excite me, but I'll be happy that we win because a win is a win. My prediction for the Commanders and Eagles, them Eagles are going to trash them Commanders, and I can't wait. I'm going to love it. All right, y'all. We'll catch you up next week. DC and DC, Dallas Cowboys in Washington, DC. Footer and got it.